Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We're very blessed to have a number of visitors with us today, some from out of town, some from here in town. We're glad that you came to worship with us today. Last week, we started looking at the lesson of the authority of God's Word. In a lot of ways, that is a foundation for anything and everything that we do. That if we don't have the right perspective, the right attitude toward God's Word and handle it rightly, then everything else that we do would be inadequate and displeasing to God. We looked at a couple of main issues last week. One was the idea that God wants us to observe all that he commanded. Not pick and choose. It would be easy to serve God with only the things that we wanted to do. You know, to carry out God's word to the people that we want to carry it out to. But we're told to observe all. And we looked at the concept of not adding to or taking away from God's word. Peter warned against that some people twist the scriptures. You know, they'll add to, they'll take away, they'll pick and choose. And we are warned against doing that. And it's just it's that attitude of the authority of God's word, the respect of God's word, the holding it above all. And this would be a good time, if you haven't, to make sure that your cell phones are on silent or vibrate or something, because I tell you, to be having a lesson on the authority of God's word, the respect of God's word, and then to be texting, not a good thing. One, it's not a good example to those sitting around you. Another, it's just flat disrespectful to God. And it's rude, especially in the concept of what we're talking about today. It is anyway, but especially when we're looking at God's Word. Now, one of the things we want to look at today to finish up this idea of the authority of God's Word is how do you use God's Word in His worship, in the carrying about of our life as a Christian, when we study God's word, how do we use it? We don't want to, as Peter says, twist the scriptures. We don't want to distort it. We don't want to, as he says, unstable people do, picking and choosing. But one of the things that we need to, whether it's a private study when we're studying at home ourselves, or if we're studying in a Bible class setting or whatever, one aspect to consider in God's Word is direct commands. In God's Word, there are direct commands that we need to do or not do. And we need to look, is when we read something, is it a command of God? We're given a direct command to spread God's word. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 19, this is Jesus is talking with his disciples before he ascends back into heaven. And he gives them a direct command. It's not up to them, well, he was talking to you, Peter. He was talking to you, John. He was telling them, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That was a direct command. They carried it out. Those men that he said that to, it was a command, and they did it. Even though it was a command to the disciples, that is a command for us also, which we are attempting to do. We are attempting to go into the world and make disciples, teaching them, not just getting them dunked in water, although baptism is part of this command, but to teach and to help them grow. We are helping do this in Korea with Malcolm Parsley. We are, Dick a couple of times a week is going to Pahrump and preaches the word there. We have Caitlin Bruce that we are supporting, helping teach as a missionary to evangelize. We ourselves are doing this. So one of the aspects that we need to remember is direct commands of God. One of those is baptism. Baptism is not a choice. It is not one of those things that it's left up to an individual to make that decision. I mean, it is, but it's not a choice whether we do or not. We are commanded. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, that is down at the bottom of most of our outlines, that verse. You guys have probably memorized this verse by now. It is used so much in this location. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We are commanded to be baptized. In Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, after he delivers a gospel sermon that knocked the people's socks off. I don't know, did they wear socks back in the first century? I don't think they wore socks, but knocked their sandals off. They cried out in verse 37, men and brethren, when they realized that they had sinned, when they realized that they were responsible for the death of the Son of God, they cried out. It says they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter responded, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a command. It's not a good idea. It's not a suggestion that if you don't have anything better to do on a Tuesday afternoon to do it. It's a command. Acts 22:16. Paul was told, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It doesn't say, if you don't have anything better to do, you might consider doing this. It's a command. So there are direct commands. Attendance. People love to argue this one. If you want to sit down and study it further, I am available. There's lots of other brethren that are available. Attendance is a commandment. It's not a, if you have something better going on, that you're free off the hook. Hebrews 10, starting verse 24, the Hebrew writer says, and let us consider one another to look toward our brothers and sisters in order, it tells us why, in order to stir up love and good works. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Obviously, some people were doing this and had to be corrected on it. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are told not to forsake the assembly. To assemble together. Why? To stir up love and good works among each other. So we can, as a body, come together and worship our God. We're told to repent from sins. Not a suggestion, a command, a direct command. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You have to repent of sins. What good would it be to claim that we're a Christian, to try to be making that walk in Christianity, in following Jesus, but try to carry all those sins with us, to keep doing them? It's opposing each other. Jesus says, unless you repent, you have to repent of sins. That's not only for those people, for us also. We are told to sing. Appreciate. I'll tell you, it amazes me every week how a bunch of untrained singers can sound so beautiful. And I can only imagine what God is hearing. The praises, you know, we hear words. God is hearing the praise and the glory and the honor that is being given Him by His children coming together, not forsaking the assembly, singing praises to Him. And we're told, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We are told to do this. And we're told how to do it. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're singing with grace and love from our hearts. Not from the piano, not from the guitar, not from the drum set or whatever, from our hearts. There is the law of exclusion. The law of exclusion applies. We have direct commands, and there's a lot of things that are said when they're not said. My mom was a master of that. My mom could get a lot said without saying a word. I'm seeing some nods. I'm seeing some smiles. You get what I'm saying. Just because God does not come out in His word and say, thou shalt not do this, there is the law of silence in the scriptures. There are direct commands. You've got to do this. There's no argument about it. But there's the law of exclusion. For example, when Noah was told to build the ark, he was told in Genesis 6:14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, I don't know exactly what gopher wood is. I went down to Home Depot to find out. They don't carry it. I don't know what gopher wood is. Obviously, Noah did. Could you imagine? Well, you know what? This is a pretty big boat. Pine is a lot more readily available. I think I'm going to go with pine instead. That boat wouldn't have floated. by God saying, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, it excluded everything else. Everything else. You don't see Noah saying, well, you know what? God never said, don't make it out of pine. I'm going to use some gopher. I'm going to throw some pine in there too. And I really like the smell of mesquite. I'm going to throw in some mesquite. The law of exclusion, the law of silence, excludes the use of anything but gopher wood. When it comes to singing, well, we're going to sing. We're going to bring in a piano and a guitar. Might as well throw in a banjo. Let's throw in some harmonicas. A kazoo. I can't play anything. We'll throw in a kazoo. I can play a kazoo. He excludes everything but from your heart. In fact, just historically, musical instruments were not used by Christians until the 600s. And then it split the church. It excludes it. Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. These were the sons of Aaron. It's not that they didn't know. They did something that wasn't authorized. We don't know exactly what it was. They did. They put a type of incense and fire to the Lord that they hadn't been offered, that they hadn't been commanded to do. But it didn't say not to use this. Next time it starts going through your mind, well, maybe I can do this instead of this. Think of Nadab and Abihu. We have the rule of example. We have direct commands. We have the law of exclusion. We have examples. Did the Christians in the first century do this or not? When we look at the authority of God's word. In Acts 20, verse 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. Now, this is not a scripture to use as an example for me to preach till midnight. That's not what this is about. This scripture is about that the example that they came together every first day of the week. This is when we come together on Sunday, the first day of the week, not on Saturday, not out of convenience. Well, let's do it. You know, more people have this time available on this day. Let's meet then. We have the example of Christians meeting the first day of the week. We have implied commands. For example, was Peter married? Did he have children? Nowhere does it talk about Peter's children. But he had children because it is implied. He talks about in 1 Peter 5:1 that he is an elder, that he is a fellow elder. The qualifications of an elder is to have believing children. So we can imply, even though nowhere does it say that Peter had a child, Peter Jr., and Sarah, and you know, whatever. It never says that, but we can imply. There's a lot of implication in the Bible. And last but not least, matter of expediency. We have a lot of leeway in how we go about. Jesus, we used the scripture earlier where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them, baptizing them, teaching them to observe everything. We have a lot of leeway on how to go about that. We see examples of people doing this. They went and taught word of mouth. They traveled by ship. They traveled by donkey. They walked. They even taught people from prison. Had it been today? Well, it doesn't say. We don't have any example of anybody flying someplace or driving cars or using lights or using microphones. It's not taking away from getting done what needs to be done or being done in a way different than the first century did. If Paul was around today, I am confident. Let's see, look at what Paul did. He traveled and preached. He preached publicly. He preached in homes. He wrote letters to people. If he was alive today, he would be traveling by air. He'd probably be traveling by car. But what would he be doing? He'd be preaching the word. He would be encouraging the brethren. He would be on Facebook. He would be texting people. We have the leeway as a matter of expediency. We cannot use expediency outside of direct commands or outside of examples or outside of implied commands, but we have the leeway. We're in this verse alone. We're carrying out God's word in a number of different ways, but with the same attitude that was being done in the first century. And it all boils down, when we talk about the authority of God's word, 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we study, as we preach, as we share the gospel with others, whether it be our children, whether it be our neighbor, whether it be to a total stranger, whether it be to our brothers and sisters, let's keep in mind the authority of God's word. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it has the power to reach souls. It had the power to reach our soul. And I'll tell you, there was a time when some of us were probably pretty hard-hearted. There was a time when some of us were probably pretty hard-headed. It reached us. And we can reach others through it. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, it is a direct command. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you need to repent of sins, which is a command, unless you repent of your sins, you will all likewise perish. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need encouragement, whatever, if you're looking for a church home, if you live here in Las Vegas, if you've just moved here and are looking around for a church home, we would love to have you. We would encourage you to identify with us, worship, work with us here at South Valley, and let your efforts be felt. We would love to work with you. Whatever your need or request, let it be known as we stand and sing. Kurt will lead us in the invitation. Let us stand and sing.